Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Last night, we reported that the Taliban government no longer rules anywhere in Afghanistan. Tonight, we can report bin Laden is in the throes of his last Afghanistan. And he is. This is his last stand. This is it. In Afghanistan. Of course, if he escapes into Pakistan, which will be a challenge, but if he does, he can try to regroup some forces and attack again. But this is it for him in Afghanistan. Hey, in Denver, another elderly woman was arrested at our international airport. Hey, the end of the show comes around quick these days. We're going to have to take a note. Take a note about that. Take a note. Write that down. Write down that the end of the show plays at the beginning of the show. Since that happened now 5 times in 2 weeks. Write that down. Thank you. Okay. Hey, an elderly woman was arrested at Denver International Airport again for the second time in the last month with knitting needles. They were afraid she was going to knit an Afghan. That just cracks me up. When will these women learn? When will they learn? Our phone number, 303-463-1707. Now, that's our temporary number for about a week or so until our 800 numbers, which have been transferred, are back up and running. But 303-463-1707. If you can't get through, jot it down. Please feel free to try back later in the show or later in the week. Now, on this show last night, I mentioned that I had made a bet with a friend from our church, from Denver Bible Church, about our war in Afghanistan. My friend thought that this war might take a very long time. We made this back in, I think, the first week after we began to bomb Kabul. And I bet him that it wouldn't last as long as the Gulf War did, which was real quick in terms of a war. It was 100 days. So then this past Sunday night, we're at our Sunday night Bible study at church, and my friend was still thinking, hey, it's in the mountains, it's in the caves, it's going to last a long time. And I'm thinking he should admit that he's lost, although it's not over, but it's virtually over. And he said, no, it's going to take a long time. So I said, all right, I've got, another 40 days to go in the bet. I'll shorten that. Let's double our bet, and I'll shorten the time frame to just another week. So we have till Sunday night, at least for this petty little bet, to conclude. But now, today, we see video from Tora Bora, mountains in eastern Afghanistan, of a moonscape. There's now a moonscape in Tora Bora that was not there on Saturday. And it's there today, nearly a half mile in diameter. If Hollywood wants to make a movie about being on the moon, they can go to Tora Bora and do it. This moonscape was created by a 15,000-pound bomb we call the BLU-82, or a daisy cutter. And our special forces on the ground thought it was a great opportunity to drop a daisy cutter near the entrance, actually a cave complex in Tora Bora, and it worked. Today, reported by the Associated Press, that leaders have been discussing surrender with opposition forces. And the opposition forces at Tora Bora gave Al-Qaeda a surrender deadline that's up at 10:30 tonight, Eastern Time. And after the daisy cutter fell, hundreds of Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda fighters have now faced this ultimatum to surrender. And what's happened is that we have received, in the process of all this, hard evidence that Osama bin Laden is probably nearby in that Tora Bora area and basically on the run with other Al-Qaeda. Let's go to the phones in New York. Ray.
Yeah.
Ray, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
All right. Well, I'm calling to tell you that I've only seen you a few times. I used to watch you and my friend Chris, who might be listening, when you used to have a TV show. We used to watch in the satellite.
All right.
I wanted to ask you something. I was going to make a statement, but I generally mumble too much. So just really quick here.
Okay.
What do you think of the people, the civil rights groups, so to speak, that don't want traitorous Americans fighting for Taliban's tried at military tribunals and just instead want to send them home and, you know, let them come out under a little life in their little hot tubs and
right.
girlfriends and all that. I'm just wondering what you think of that, being the point of view you come from. I think it's wrong, and I was just curious to see what you think.
Well, Johnny Bin Walker should be executed.
Okay.
And there should be a military tribunal for him there in Afghanistan, right in Camp Rhino, and he should be executed. As soon as we believe that we can't get any other valuable information out of him. But, of course, that will not happen.
Well, that's what I said. I basically told a friend the other day, they said, what are your opinion on this guy? I said, well, they should get all the information they could out of him and execute him. He should be killed.
Yeah, you were right.
He shouldn't be allowed to return to this country. There's people like that, and it's all these, I don't want to sound goofy about it, but I don't know. All these people that just given everybody rights, all these people that shouldn't have these rights get rights. I mean,
yeah.
This guy could very well end up back on Hollywood Boulevard, you know, hanging out and partying with his buddies. We don't know what's going to happen to him, and I think it's wrong.
Well, when he takes up arms against his own country, when we are fighting a defensive war against terrorists and mass murderers, he becomes a conspirator to murder, an accomplice to murder, and he should be executed for that.
Right, that's what I thought, and I also thought since he supported the attacks when he was asked, he said yes, he supported them. You know, I consider him as bad as them, and I think he should be executed for treason. I mean, really.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, we also have now today the very first indictment leveled against a terrorist that was involved to some extent with the September 11th terrorist group, the Zacharias Moussaoui.
Yeah, I'm reading that right now, and I got to say, he actually, his name's a little different than most of the other ones.
Yeah, that's true.
I was getting him confused for a while.
He's, you know, he's trying to learn how to fly, but not take off or land, just steer.
Yeah.
In Minnesota. FBI agents arrested him, and they tried to get permission to search his computer, but the Justice Department stopped them and said,
yeah,
no, there's not enough evidence.
I understand there's got to be a just cause and there's got to be a process, but...
But that's a mistake and a tragedy. You know what? We're taking a break and we'll be right back.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through Revelation. God and the Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Benyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to KGOV.com.
And we are back, Bob Benyart Live, 303-463-1707. Hey, so we've got a problem, and you're still with me, Ray?
Oh, yeah, I'm right here.
With, you know, Johnny Ben Walker's parents.
You know, you think by now they would have said, maybe he's a bad seed.
Right. I understand. You know, we have seven boys, my wife and I, between us. And I understand parents' love for their children. But even this Zacharias Moussaoui, his mother is rushed to his defense. And we have this pathetic record of modern parents who stand by their children, even in the face of overwhelming evidence of their guilt in horrific crimes.
Well, any mother is going to sit there and say, my baby didn't do it. That goes without saying.
Well, yeah, but it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. A mother or a father should say that if the evidence is as it looks and my son is guilty, then he should confess and repent.
Oh, I'm not saying that they shouldn't say that.
Right.
They don't.
That's what they do. Right. They all defend their kids. Oh, my son is innocent.
Yep.
And
I don't want to cut you off there, but I'm in total agreement with you. You know, I don't have any kids, but if I did, I'm sure I'd want to say that. But I mean, if I knew my kid went out and raped and killed a girl or something, then I want to see him punished for it because he knew it was wrong.
Right.
Well, that would have been how I raised him.
What is more painful than having your son murdered is having your son become a murderer. That's worse.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are the victims, you know, say in Columbine, the parents of the kids who were killed, that's devastating. But being the parent of a kid who becomes a murderer is even worse.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, and
they got to live with it.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just a tragedy that no matter what the evidence, the overwhelming number of parents to show what a broken and immoral society we are, defend their kids. It makes me sick.
Well, real quick before I actually get going here, the thing I wanted to kind of get back to here is that I'm not sure what kind of listener base you have, and I'm really not out to make anybody mad, but what kind of system do we have now where we have to go through, I mean, people are behind the president 100%, except he wants military tribunals. Then people start getting on his back. In other words, people say they want justice, but when justice is about to be served, the bogged down government, which, and again, I'm no political analyst here, which I'm assuming got larger when Clinton was in office, and that's half the problem.
Well, the Clinton administration bragged that they shrunk the federal government to its small size in decades. But what they didn't say at the same time was they did it by gutting the military.
Yeah, taking away half the military doesn't count, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, you kick hundreds of thousands of people out of the military in one way or another, and then you brag you shrunk the government when really you expanded the civil government.
Right,
that's just criminal.
Yes, but,
to lie in that way. But as far as the military tribunals, you know, our court system in New York, where we tried the terrorist bombing of the World Trade Center from 93, that was an utter failure.
Yep.
Because we got a conviction. Well, we are punishing those guys by making them watch cable TV and keeping them warm in winter, cool in summer, educating them, medicating them, entertaining them, legally representing them. That's what we call punishment.
No, it's all stopped. That makes me mad.
They should be executed. They attempted to murder tens of thousands of people. They should be executed. They're convicted of trying to blow up the World Trade Center. Not only that, we gave up our sources. We publicized the structural integrity of the World Trade Center to get that conviction in open court.
And right now, in my mind, in my train of thought, the way I think, every member of the existing remaining Taliban, every member of Al-Qaeda, every government official that supports Saddam Hussein in Iraq should all be executed. There shouldn't be any, you know, you can't have a double go both ways. You have to have it. You know, if we kill all these guys, go after Saddam next, and make sure he doesn't get out this time. That's the one thing the first President Bush didn't get right.
It was a huge mistake, a huge miscalculation. We could have, you know, the Iraqi soldier viewed the Americans as liberators, the soldiers. That's according to Norman Schwarzkopf, the general in charge of the war.
They're surrendering 50,000 apiece to TV cameras. I mean,
right? They were surrendering to Apache helicopters and to Associated Press photographers.
Yep.
They were surrendering to whoever they could see.
And all these people who say, "Hey, you know, you're going to have a bigger problem in Afghanistan than Iraq." Well,
yeah,
they were just proven wrong. I mean, these people are going to fight to death, Allah, Islam, whatever.
Right.
They all ran.
Right.
They should all be hunted down.
Well, the principle on which I think we should enact your suggestion is that anyone who conspires with murderers are guilty of murder.
Exactly.
Yeah, we find that out in the book of Deuteronomy. We're doing a Bible study on that right now in our church. Okay. And so if you conspire with a murderer, you are guilty of murder. And if there's a terrorist organization that kills innocent people and you harbor them or you support them or you join them, you should be executed. And if that becomes our policy, which we're sort of close to that when George Bush says, if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist.
Yep.
And that's good. That's the best thing an American president has said in decades.
Well, I'm very supportive of him. I voted for him, even though my democratically minded state lost for putting him in office. Overall, the nation, and with all Gore's attempt to manufacture votes and cheat, he still got in office. And man, right now I'm glad that dude's in office instead of Gore.
Well, I'll say this for Bush. I'm not a big fan of Bush.
Right.
I despise Gore, but Bush has prosecuted this war flawlessly.
Yeah, he's been, that's what I mean, that's why I'm...
Yeah, he's done it flawlessly. I wish that he would prosecute the culture war in America half as well. But thank you so much, Ray.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Appreciate the call. And our phone number, 303-463-1707. It might be difficult to get through. Let me just tell those of you in the audience who are tuning in New York and in northern Indiana, we hope to be on the air in Denver in January. We're excited about that. Our first four months or so on the air in January will be tape delayed, so we will not get any calls from Denver, at least not many. But then after that, we expect that we'll be going live in Denver for the whole hour, five nights a week. And we're real excited about that. Our church that I pastor, Denver Bible Church, here could benefit tremendously from this program being on the air in our hometown. So we're really hoping that we'll be able to put that together. All right, and after just having said we might not get many calls from Denver, we've got one now. And this actually, I see here from our call screener, is a member of our church. Her name is Chelsea, a young woman. Chelsea, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Chelsea, I heard about a story of a college course you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
You're a homeschool graduate, is that right?
Yes.
How many years were you homeschooled?
Let's see, 12.
12 years. Yeah. That's a pretty good shot. 12 years. How did you do homeschooling?
Good.
Did you get good grades?
Yeah.
Okay. Super. And now you're in college studying what?
Nursing.
Nursing at what college?
At Regis University.
Regis. Now that's isn't that at least nominally a Catholic college?
Yes.
Okay. Regis University. Somewhat prestigious in the Denver area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're doing nursing there. So what's the story? Tell me.
Well, in my rotation, I've been taking OB.
OB obstetrics.
Right.
Like the baby developing in the womb.
Yes.
Okay.
And my teacher openly said that she works at Planned Parenthood.
Oh, great. The obstetrics professor works for Planned Parenthood, the abortionists.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother.
So I was kind of cautious from the very start.
cautious in that she's a pro-abort.
Right.
And she's teaching this class on obstetrics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother. All right.
And so one of our classes just the past couple of weeks was on abortion. And she basically just described, like, the process of different types of abortion, and she blatantly excluded partial birth abortion.
She excluded partial birth abortion?
Uh-huh.
With all the news about partial birth abortion over the last few years, she didn't include it in one of the methods of abortion?
No.
Wow.
And so a student in my class asked her, you know, what about partial birth abortion? My teacher, she's like, no, we can't talk about that.
What? A college professor at a university in a class on obstetrics says we can't talk about partial birth abortion?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they believed in opening students' minds and expanding them and letting them learn what the world is all about. Why did she say that? Did she elaborate at all why she didn't want to talk about it?
No, she just changed the subject after that.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
What a typical Planned Parenthood employee. You know, a coward when it comes to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So did anything else happen?
Well, actually, conveniently, I had brought a handout describing the process of partial birth abortion.
Oh, you did.
And it had pictures of, you know, what occurs.
Well, Chelsea, We're on the air in a couple cities around the country, and there very likely are people listening. You're taking obstetrics. You've got a good education behind you. You've looked into it. Could you tell us what is a partial birth abortion? What happens in that?
Okay, well, the baby is able to live till full term, and then it's partially birthed.
You mean it's a late-term baby, like 6, 7, 8 months along,
yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they usually do it about 8 months.
Okay.
And they actually try and rotate the baby towards breech.
Breech means so that it's not coming out head first,
right,
but
they
feet
pull the
first.
Feet first. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or they call it footling.
Foot.
And they pull the baby out halfway.
All right.
And they puncture a hole at the base of the skull, and they take a vacuum and suck out the brain.
Oh, my.
And then they finish birthing the baby.
This is a nearly full-grown baby, nearly ready, full-term baby, And they begin to deliver the baby feet first. Is that safe for a mother to deliver breech?
Oh, it's dangerous.
Normally, in a normal birth, you don't want the baby to come out breech, right?
Right.
Why would that be?
Because it's trauma to the pelvic area.
Trauma to the pelvic area, and you might break the baby's, one of his legs or arms.
Yeah.
But, of course, the abortionist doesn't care if he breaks the baby's leg in a delivery of a partial birth abortion because he's going to kill him in a minute anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some physical trauma to the mother to deliver a baby breech. They turn the baby around, and then they deliver him almost all the way until only his head is left inside the mom. And that's when they kill the baby.
Yep.
If they didn't stop right at that point, let's say the head accidentally came out, and then they killed the baby, what would we call that? I guess murder.
Murder.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. You're an atheist, an atheist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
You must be them NYOG people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know... If you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect, yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So This is George from Jersey. Out!
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Flukeling Correct 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague.
Never have.
All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite. Is this Bob Inyart?
Hypocrite.
How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what?
What?
God ain't going to help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. Cool. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right?
No.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite.
Nah.
Bob Inyart. Check my
pop. And we are back, Bob Inyart Live. The phone number for this week, 303-463-1707. And we're back with Chelsea from Denver, who attends Regis University as a nursing student, and in her obstetrics class has a Planned Parenthood worker teaching the class who gave the methods of abortion but wanted to skip partial birth abortion. Well, Chelsea, after you describe what is involved in partial birth, I guess we can see why she didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Imagine any other medical field where the professor is embarrassed or ashamed to describe a medical procedure that's commonly used. I don't think I could imagine that.
Yeah, me either.
No. So obviously she has either a guilty conscience or she knows she would look like a child-murdering thug if she described what it is that these abortionists do.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame. So so you brought that a pamphlet describing it,
mm-hmm.
partial birth, and you passed it around?
Yes.
During the class?
Yeah.
Okay. And a few kids saw it, or students?
Yeah, I think almost everyone in my class saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
My teacher was trying to figure out what was being passed around, but I think she just thought it was a handout she gave out talking about women's health resources.
Oh, I see.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, she didn't know it was enemy propaganda.
Right.
So do you remember which forms of abortion she did describe? Maybe I could name a couple. You could tell me if suction aspiration, where that's the main one Planned Parenthood uses,
right.
Where they use a suction tube and basically rip the baby's body apart.
Yeah, she did mention that was the most common.
Yes.
Procedure.
And did she say that the head is too well formed to be sucked out, so the abortionist goes in with the forceps and crushes the skull?
No, she left that out.
Oh, she did. How convenient, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the suction aspiration abortion doesn't remove the skull.
Mm-hmm.
The abortionist has to do that in the second stage of the abortion. And then did she talk about, like a prostaglandin or some type of a hormone abortion that causes a spontaneous delivery?
Mm-hmm.
And what'd she say about that?
She said that was for the benefit of the mom.
Because then you don't have to go in any invasive procedure.
Right.
You just give her a hormone and she begins to have contractions and delivers prematurely. Mm-hmm. Now, did she explain in that process how the baby dies?
No.
You think any of the students wondered, well, if she gives birth prematurely, say at 4 months or so, how does the baby die? You think the students wondered that, or did it just go over their head not to even think about it?
I think it just went over their head.
Yeah, the way the baby dies, and if they use a drug like prostaglandin or some other to induce labor, the baby dies in the trauma of the delivery. The contractions are so strong that it literally will snap the baby's spine, break his neck, crush his skull, and he's killed in the trauma of the delivery. And did she talk about a saline abortion?
No, she didn't.
Okay, now saline abortions are not used anymore as far as I could tell, as far as I know, but hundreds of thousands, if not millions of them, were done in the 70s. And that's where they injected a salt solution into the uterus, and the salt... it did two things. It burned the baby's skin, and as the baby would drink in the amniotic fluid, it would burn his mouth, lips, and his throat, and then poison him from the inside out. So he's burned on the outside. It'd be like the baby's skin is so tender at that point, and it'd be like rubbing salt into an open wound. So terribly painful. So it burns the baby from the outside and then poisons him, burns his inside, and poisons him. So she didn't describe that. That would have been interesting as far as the history of the development of the abortion procedure in America.
Mm-hmm.
But she conveniently skipped that.
Yeah.
Any other abortion procedures she talked about?
You talked about the RU486, I think it is.
Right, the abortion... pill.
Uh-huh. She just briefly mentioned that it's a pill that you can get and it's legal.
Yeah, we call that RU486ing people.
Oh.
Because to 86 something means to destroy it.
Right.
So RU486ing people. And of course she is.
Mm-hmm.
So she talked about that. Did she talk about side effects of that drug?
No, I mean, throughout this whole lecture she would skip about the different types of effects, psychological and physical. She just basically said what occurs during the procedure, leaving some things out.
Did she discuss the many extensive studies by universities showing an increased risk for breast cancer in women who have abortions, especially for their first pregnancy?
Nope.
Oh, she left that out too.
Oh.
Isn't that what a thorough woman. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Did she talk about the form of abortion that was pioneered by abortionist Warren Hearn up in Boulder? He wrote the book on abortion, literally. He wrote a textbook called Abortion Practice. And in it, he describes his method where he does an ultrasound and measures the baby's foot to determine how many weeks the baby is. And he advertises that he does abortions into the seventh month. He advertises that in our Denver Yellow. And the way he does the abortion is he puts the woman on ultrasound and locates the baby and then takes a needle and then injects a needle into the baby's heart and then puts a bit of poison in his heart, which kills the baby pretty quickly. And then he goes in with sharp knives, special shaped knives, and he goes in and he literally dismembers the baby in the womb and then takes it out in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That's the procedure. So she didn't describe that?
No.
She forgot that too. All right, so she mentioned suction aspiration and prostaglandin and RU46.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Chelsea, I appreciate getting this scoop from someone inside a nursing class at a Catholic university where they have a Planned Parenthood employee teaching the class.
Sure.
And, wow, getting that inside scoop. We do appreciate that, Chelsea.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, nice young woman. And glad she was there to report back to us here at Bob and Yurt Live. Our phone number, 303-463-1707. That's 303-463-1707. Now, opposition forces at Tora Bora gave Al-Qaeda a surrender deadline that's up at 10:30 this evening, Eastern Time. So right now it's 9:42 Eastern Time, so they have less than an hour left, and U.S. officials believe that bin Laden is likely nearby. Now, anti-Taliban forces have been making advances, and they're confirming reports that the last 3 days of heavy bombardment by our warplanes was taking its toll on Al-Qaeda. The surrender talk, where Al-Qaeda leaders have been talking to opposition forces on the ground via radio and walkie-talkie, they followed the drop of a daisy cutter bomb on Sunday, a 15,000-pound bomb, the largest non-nuclear weapon we have. And ABC News is reporting that that bomb had a massive impact in terms of its outright destruction, and also that it set off a series of panicked radio and satellite phone calls immediately after. So they created a flood of hard evidence on the whereabouts of bin Laden. Now, this is encouraging. The Times of London on Friday had reported that Mullah Mohammed Omar had been captured and was being held, possibly turned over to a Pashtun warlord. But apparently that was either false, it looks like it was false, or that has not yet come to fruition. But this year, these current reports, there are quite a few Western reporters on the ground now in Tora Bora. And we're getting some, even some video footage of the devastation we're bringing there.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to have responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl, called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool.
Included in the package are two sermons on child rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
And we are back. Bob and Eric Live, 303-463-1707. So the panicked radio and satellite phone calls immediately after the Daisy Cutter bomb fell in Tora Bora told our special forces that Bin Laden was almost certainly near the blast. That Bin Laden was almost certainly near the blast and is now on the run, and that many other Al-Qaeda leaders were killed. So that all, of course, is good news from the war front. And now to South Bend, Indiana. Mary, speak your mind.
Hello.
Hello, Mary. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi. I was just driving home, and I heard you talking about abortion, and I'm a recent Regis graduate.
You are?
In the nursing department.
From the nursing department?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay, tell us your comment.
Well, I just wanted to, just a brief comment about, I remember taking my OB class. I'm a little rusty on exactly what she said, but
right.
I remember a thought that I had was that I was very surprised when she did disclose that she worked for Planned Parenthood.
Oh, so this is likely the same woman.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is, because I just graduated in May.
Oh, you did.
I took the OB part of the class probably in, my first year or so.
Okay, now this, is it a professor?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember her name?
Oh, gosh. Am I even allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah, sure. If you recall it.
I don't remember
all right,
her name.
That's all right. We might get it from Chelsea here, because we might want to follow up on this with Regis. So you were surprised that that it was a Catholic university and they had an abortionist working there?
Well, yeah, I think in general I was disappointed with kind of the lack of moral teaching that I was getting there, considering that it was a Catholic university. And but I was real surprised that they did actually hire somebody who was associated with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this. A Catholic hospital in Denver, just a mile from Planned Parenthood's main abortuary, they had one of the Planned Parenthood abortionist doctors on staff for years.
Huh.
And we made no small stink about it and worked unsuccessfully for years to get them to throw him out.
Hmm.
To have somebody who works killing children for money than to work at a Catholic hospital where the Catholic Church takes a stand against child killing. And they say it's murder.
Right.
So what a contradiction.
Right.
Yeah, it would be like having a Nazi doctor who experiments on Jews working at a Jewish hospital.
Right.
I mean, it's such a contradiction. Obviously, the latter would never happen.
Right.
But the fact that the former happens makes us think that there are so many people and groups that are only half-heartedly pro-life. They don't really care that kids are being killed.
Right.
Wow.
Well, it did. I'm a recovery room nurse right now in South Bend.
Oh, you are.
And it did cause me to think about what position I would be in if just any kind of nursing position where there's any abortions going on in the hospital.
Right. Well, Mary, I really appreciate you calling in about this to confirm Chelsea's account.
Well, I'm just glad somebody else was noticed that she was, and in a way, I guess, offended that the school would have hired somebody with those open beliefs.
Right. Well, perhaps on a follow-up show this week, we'll see if we can get a statement from Regis University on this.
Oh, that'd be great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye. Bye.
All right, so that's Mary from South Bend, Indiana. Wow. Turns out that Chelsea's story could be corroborated within minutes from 1,000 miles away by a Regis graduate from the nursing department who took the same class with the same female professor who's involved with now Planned Parenthood. They do things other than abortion, but abortion is their main thing. Abortion is their big money maker. Abortion, Planned Parenthood is America's number one abortion provider. They are number one. In Colorado, there's no other abortion mill or abortion provider that kills as many children as Planned Parenthood does. And it costs, what is the cost of an abortion today? I'm asking my studio audience if anybody knows. Somewhere approaching $500 for a younger child, somewhere between 7 weeks and, let's see, Planned Parenthood does abortions just in the first 4 months or so. So then as the baby gets older, then a woman who wants to kill her child has to go to an abortion mill that does later term abortions, and they get more expensive. Warren Hearn up in Boulder, George Tiller in Wichita, Kansas, in Cincinnati, Ohio, the abortionist who pioneered the partial birth abortion technique, they charge thousands of dollars for each late term baby they kill. And we understand why, because a baby who's 6 months old, 7, 8 months old, even 9 months old, it takes quite an effort to kill that baby. If you're going to use partial birth abortion and you're going to force a scissors through the back of the baby's skull at the base of his neck, just under his skull, that takes some effort. You got to maybe work out at the Y and do some push-ups to have the strength to push a hole through a baby's neck. And then you have to widen that hole a bit so that your suction aspirator device will fit through. And then you suck the brains out and kill the baby. Oh yeah, but it's not done then. We had testimony here in our state capitol, our legislature meeting in Denver, that then the baby's parts are sold to medical researchers. So the baby's brains are sucked out of its skull a moment as it's being murdered, and the baby then is literally harvested with its parts sold. In Colorado here, they sell them to the University of Colorado at Boulder. That's where they sell the baby parts to. And that's why so many pro-lifers were so discouraged with George W. Bush wrestling over the decision of whether or not to fund stem cell research. We're already funding at government-subsidized hospitals and universities. We're doing the most grisly of research on children who are murdered and their body parts sold. And George W. Bush, who says he's pro-life, but unfortunately, he has a special liking for pro-abortion judges. He seems to prefer pro-abortion judges. He has absolutely nothing against them. He said in the presidential debate that it is not his goal to overturn Roe v. Wade. He said that. And the majority of Supreme Court justices on the Texas court, the Texas Supreme Court, were either appointed or recommended by George W. Bush, and that is an extremely pro-abortion state Supreme Court. Extremely. All right, caller, you're on with Bob and Yurt Live. Well,
yeah.
Who is this?
I was wanting to know if you heard anything about when they harvest the stem cell research law that President Bush made.
Yes.
They're growing babies in test tubes out, and they're upset about abortion.
Well, you're talking about the cloning that was announced just a week ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are stem cells that reproduce, and they are being used. That's what George W. Bush said he would fund with our tax dollars, which is so absolutely wrong. But then there's actual cloning being done where researchers at this one company, Advanced Cell Research in Massachusetts is taking an egg from a woman and removing the nucleus and putting the nucleus of another cell and getting that to begin to reproduce. And they're hoping that they'll be able to do that successfully and then generate stem cells from that cloning process, an unlimited number of stem cells for further research. And what we should declare as a country is that you don't kill babies and sell their parts. You don't kill babies and use their parts for inventory or for, you just don't do it. The Nazis were wrong for doing it with grown people and children, and American scientists, doctors are wrong for doing it with unborn babies.
No, I'm talking about growing test tube babies to full term.
Well, that's
and
not
parting them out and selling the parts.
Okay. That is, of course, on the drawing board, but that's not being done now.
Okay, I was reading something about that sounded like they were they made that legal to be able to do.
Well, it's not illegal because our government is too slow and lacks the wisdom to know how swiftly it should move and what it needs to outlaw. It's wrong. It's just wrong to do this, to take baby body parts, kill the babies, and use the parts. And the furthest along we've had a cloned human being is just the first four, six, or eight cell divisions, as far as has been reported in the press.
Well, I thought that there was an 8 or 9 year old little girl that was a test tube baby.
Well, okay, maybe we're talking about two different things. You can get babies that have been conceived. You know, we have in vitro fertilization, and then we have petri dish fertilization, where they take an egg and they take a sperm and they join them, and then they implant that zygote into a mother's womb. And there's nothing inherently immoral about that, as long as they're not killing extra babies on purpose in the process. But test tube babies, yeah. If you want to talk about that, that has been done, and it's not inherently immoral.
That's still a life, though, right?
That's still a life. If they kill it intentionally, then that is murder.
Yeah.
If they don't, if they take an egg and they take sperm and they fertilize the egg and implant it in a woman who otherwise could not become pregnant and she has a baby, then that's a joyous occasion. But if they do it...
So they can't grow it outside of a woman?
No, not at all.
Oh. Okay.
Not even in their wildest dreams right now. All the cloning they're talking about now is in women's uteruses.
Oh.
They have to implant those zygotes in the uterus. Sir, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
What city did you call us from?
South Bend.
All right, appreciate that. Okay, so South Bend, Indiana comes through, New York comes through, and Denver comes through. We're doing all right. And the earliest shows of the resurrected Bob and Yurt Live. And I'm looking to spending some time with you tomorrow night and through the rest of the week. If you'd like to find out more about us, please visit us on the web at kgov.com. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.